My name is Rudy Edmond. I wish to present a series of slides showing features of Railroad Creek Valley. I am a geologist and have been interested in glaciation for many years, and I find the features of Railroad Creek Canyon to be particularly well preserved and very, very representative of what one finds in a glacial valley. I suggest for a program that one would start out with listening to the program of the Solo Learn film strip cassette recording, and get the major features of glacial history and glacial terminology from that particular program, which takes several minutes to listen to. And then after listening to that, then follow it with this sequence of slides, which will give an idea of the features mentioned in that film strip that are really well represented here in Railroad Creek Canyon. After listening and to that film strip and looking at the slides, then I suggest a third thing that would be helpful, and that is looking at the models present in the case here in the museum, which shows the sequence of events here in this valley and in the Northern Cascade Mountains. Now we'll proceed then at this point with a series of slides and point out some of the major features that are shown in connection with that. The first slide shows that the climatic conditions have changed during the last 2 million years in a way in which the climate has become warmer and colder, causing advances of ice, and then the interglacial periods where the ice melted out. And we know from the record in this valley that the ice advanced and filled the canyon here at least 4 different times during the last 2 million years. And that record is preserved by the deposits that we find at the lower end of the canyon. The map before us here showing the Pleistocene epoch lets us see how far south the snow actually advanced during the Pleistocene, the last 2 million years. Another map shows a more detailed picture covering the Canadian part as well as the United States, and particularly showing the position of the south border of the ice during this time in the state of Washington, and particularly at the location where we are here at Holden Village. A map borrowed from the restaurant down in Chelan shows really a good picture of Lake Chelan and shows its length and the fact that the lower end of the lake is separated from the Columbia River by several hundred feet of fall, and this lake itself then is a natural lake that's dammed up above the level of the Columbia River, where the ice brought down loose material and filled it in as a natural dam and backed the water up, so that the lake now is approximately 50 miles long. In our own valley here in Railroad Creek, we see the U-shaped character of the glacial valley as we look up the valley from Holden Village area, looking at the upper part of Railroad Creek and the North Star Mountain directly in front of us, with Bonanza on the right-hand side and Dumbbell on the left. You can see the U-shaped, scooped-out nature and easily visualize that this valley was filled from the very tops of these ridges to the bottom of the canyon, so that there was more than a mile of ice vertically in the canyon itself. The diagram shown at the top of this slide illustrates how ice bears down against the sides of the canyon and the valley and rounds the bottom out, because the ice weighs down and pushes out and moves rock against rock as the ice flows through the valley, thus producing the features that we see in a typical glacial valley. A cross-section profile shows the outline of the ice as it thickens at the upper end of the valley and thins as it wastes away in the lower part as the sun and the warmer air melt out the ice in the lower part of the valley. The end of the ice typically produces what is known as a moraine, a loose deposit of material that has been removed by the erosion as the ice has moved down the valley. Let's look at Railroad Creek Valley now as we see it from the top of Buckskin Mountain, looking at Bonanza Peak in the background and the glaciated valley immediately in front of us. Again, you can see how the ice has smoothened off the sides of the valley along Bonanza Peak and Martin Ridge on the right. This is Heart Lake, and Heart Lake is of interest because it's a lake where the ice came down over a stair step from the ridge directly in front of us and actually scooped out rock which was softer, and then as the ice melted away, it left a depression filled with water, which is Heart Lake. Heart Lake is raised slightly by the logs that you see in the foreground because of beaver action and avalanches bringing down timber that has floated to the lower end of the lake. But it is a natural lake formed by gouging out of the bottom of the valley, and directly below Heart Lake is Heart Lake Falls, and this shows the ridge on the left-hand side that really was the obstruction that held up the ice and allowed the glacier to scoop out the softer rock on the backside and leave the harder rock over which the water is now flowing in Railroad Creek, producing a natural waterfall, which is typical of the bottom of a glaciated valley where the rock is of different strength in terms of its erosion and resistance to the movement of the ice. From Martin Ridge, we view Heart Lake again and the upper part of the Railroad Creek Valley. Note that in the far background, there is you move over another ledge, and then way in the distance in the background is Glacier Peak. Just to the right of Heart Lake is North Star Mountain, and the glacial features of this canyon are beautifully displayed. Up on top of the ledge that we see now, is another lake, which is Lyman Lake. And this lake lies above Heart Lake. And you note that there is a ledge behind Lyman Lake, and Railroad Creek rises above that. And in the shadow, you see Lyman Glacier. This is a good slide to show the reason why there is a glacier at that particular point. On the left-hand side of the valley, the ice has all melted out because it's more exposed to the sun, and this has removed all of the ice except the part that's left in the shadow of the ridge on the right. This is a cirque, which is an amphitheater-shaped depression where the ice scooped out the rock and hollowed out an amphitheater-shaped basin. And you can see at the lower end of this the loose rock material that has accumulated. This picture is taken from Minor Ridge and is just on the back side of Dumbbell Mountain, where the previous picture was taken and where Heart Lake exists at the bottom of the valley. Now we proceed to another feature, which is Holden Lake. And this is a good lake to illustrate the presence of what is known as a tarn lake in the bottom of a cirque. The amphitheater of this area is shown very well in this picture, and in the immediate foreground is the depressed area, which was eroded, and the ice scooped it out, and then water filled it as the ice melted. Here is Holden Lake viewed from the trail right at the lower end of the lake, and note that directly above is a glacier. This glacier is active and moving forward, full of crevasses, and during the summertime the water melts, and there's a constant flow of water, melt water, down over this wall into Holden Lake, as you see it in the foreground. To give you some idea of the size of materials which the glacier is capable of moving and using as tools, this illustrates well the size of pebbles and rocks and boulders that are frozen into the ice and then moved down, and with tools of this size and magnitude, it's easy to understand why a great deal of erosion occurs, because the rock rubs against the bottom of the valley and simply polishes it off and scoops it out. This is taken a little higher on the ridge, looking down across Holden Lake, and again illustrating the kinds of materials that, if the ice were to form again, these materials would be at the bottom of the ice, and if the ice moved through the valley, that would be the kind of material that would erode and polish off the valley floor. This valley, which is the South Fork of Agnes Creek, just beyond Cloudy Pass, is a good illustration again of the U-shaped nature of a glaciated canyon that's moving down. If one were to follow this valley down a few miles, you would come to the upper end of Lake Chelan, because this is part of the valley which drains into Lake Chelan. On Miner's Ridge, going beyond, one sees another feature, which is Glacier Peak. And Glacier Peak is called Glacier Peak for the simple reason that it stands higher, and the upper part of the mountain is covered the year round with snow and ice. Glaciers are coming down like spokes of a wheel from this cone-shaped mountain, which is a volcano cone. And the mountain is well named as Glacier Peak because it is a mountain which has glaciers on it the year-round and is a very active glacial mountain. As one approaches Glacier Peak, you come to Image Lake. Image Lake is a very shallow lake, but it is again produced by the scooping out action of the ice. And around the lake, you see a beautiful meadow of flowers. And if you look across the lake, you get an image of Glacier Peak. Another lake formed by glacial ice is Dompke Lake. Dompke Lake is at the other end of Railroad Creek Valley, and this lies just above Lake Chelan, and the rock in the foreground is rock that has been polished off by the movement of ice, and Dompke Lake has been scooped out by the ice that flowed down from Railroad Creek Valley and also from the glacier which formed Lake Chelan. You can visualize where this lake is as you look at Dompke Mountain, which is the rounded off peak that you see in the left foreground. Dompke Mountain rises from Lake Chelan, and on the left hand side you see a gap or a saddle, and that's where the ice moved through and produced Dompke Lake. The ice also moved clear over the top of Dompke Mountain and rounded off the top so that it is polished all the way to the top from the action of the ice that overrode it. Now, looking along Lake Chelan, one of the prominent things one observes is that the walls of the canyon come right down to the lake level, and there is no sign of beaches on either side of the lake. The lake is very deep at this point and rounded out at the bottom because the water here is between 1,000 and 1,500 feet deep, and the ice was moving through this part of the canyon very vigorously and eroded the canyon below sea level. Looking along the lake again, you can see that this is very much like a fjord you would expect to see along the coastline of Norway or other places where the ice comes down to the water's edge and has eroded below sea level. As you go down the lake, down to the area of 25 Mile Creek, you observe certain terraces that are very prominent along the lake shore here, where you see the evidence that the lake stood higher during the time that the ice was melting out. And as the lower end of the lake was partly dammed by ice and sediment, the terraces formed, and then later the ice melted out and the lake came down to the level that it now exists. It's now about 1,100 feet above sea level, but the bottom of the lake is actually as much as 400 to 500 feet below sea level at the deepest part. On Lake Chelan, as you go south and approach the city of Chelan, you can see again terraces here at an upper level. And these rock terraces and loose fill of material is the material that was eroded from the valley much farther up into the mountains. This glacier was approximately 80 miles long, and Railroad Creek Canyon was one of the tributary glaciers that formed a part of this ice and contributed to it. Now, back in Railroad Creek Canyon and on the trail to Holden Lake, one observes across the valley as what we refer to as triangular facets. You can see where the valley has been cut off by the ice advancing through the canyon and rounding it out, so that it leaves hanging valleys at the points where the stream entered the valley before it was glaciated. Now, these features are very characteristic of glacial valleys. At the tops of the ridges and the mountains, you see a feature which is really a horn or a very sharp point. And that's because the ice actually excavated and froze onto the rock and pulled it out away from the mountain, not only on one side, but on two sides, and actually on the back side in this case, leaving just a splinter of rock, which is really the top of Copper Mountain. This is similar to the Swiss Alps, where you get such beautiful mountains as the Matterhorn, formed in the same way, and this is a smaller version of the same thing. You also see these very sharp ridges that exist between valleys and at the heads of canyons, such as you see in this picture. This is the upper part of Copper Basin, and looking back in the vicinity of the high peaks back of Copper Mountain and back of Buckskin Mountain. This is the valley directly on the opposite side of Martin Ridge, which is which is 10 Mile Creek Valley. And this valley parallels Railroad Creek Valley, and the ridge to the left would be the flank of Martin Ridge, the opposite side from what we see here in Holden Village. So if you visualize, this is Martin Ridge, and looking up and over the ridge and into the next valley, that's the picture we saw on the previous slide where 10 Mile Creek has eroded it on the other side the same way, but not quite as deep as on the Railroad Creek side. How do we know how much ice was in these canyons? We can tell this from the glacial scratches that are on the sides of the canyon and the polish. And this, for example, is on the trail up around Lyman Lake, and you can see the polished off surface and the scratches that parallel the bottom of the canyon. Obviously, if the glacier erodes material, there must be a place where it melts out and leaves that eroded material. This is called a glacial moraine. And directly around the museum and below it and down by the garage, you see this cut in the road, which exposes the interior of the glacial moraine. Note that the coarse material and the fine material are all mixed together, and there's no evidence of sorting in this kind of a deposit. And on this boulder, which is right down near the garage, you can see the scratches that were produced as this one was moved with the ice and against the bottom or sides of the canyon and scratched it off and polished it off, which is typical. Now, this ground up rock, which really is fine as flour, is carried out beyond the valleys and on to the stream floodplains, and there the wind picks it up, and it's carried out over the volcanic rocks of the Columbia Plateau. This is what makes for good agriculture in the Washington area, and the soil that you see here is the result of the grinding of the glacier up to the north and up, clear up into the Canadian area where it has formed. This is a view of Copper Basin as you see it from the upper part of the chalets here.